This is Equip and Empower, the Christine Kane podcast. For everyone who desires to bring hope, create change, and live out their God-given destiny with passion and joy. Before we dive into the message Christine has for us today, I want to take just a minute to tell you about a partner we are honored to share with you. Operation Christmas Child has been reaching millions of children each year with the good news of Jesus Christ through simple shoebox gifts. Even in the hardest to reach places of the world, churches are being planted and communities are transformed. With just a few swipes of your computer screen, you can choose the items you want to pack and build a shoebox online. To learn more, visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Now, here's your host, Christine Kane.
Join me today. I'm so grateful you're on the other side of the screen. I know that God has got a word for you. We are in a series talking about getting ready, because who doesn't want to be ready for what it is that God has for you? I know there's someone watching this, and this is going to be such a pivotal program for you. You want to make sure that you don't miss one word of this, because you've been wondering, God, is there something more? And I'm here to tell you that there is more. In our Christian faith, we go from faith to faith. We go from glory to glory. We go from strength to strength. So wherever you are, there's another level for you. And together we're going to press into that. Our text is the whole of Joshua chapter 1. I won't be reading all of that today, but I just want to read the introduction, because we're going to go in and possess the promised land that God has for us. There are spiritual promises that are stored up for every single one of us. The Word of God is full of the promise of God. All the promises of God are in Christ Jesus, yes, and in Christ Jesus, amen. And we don't want to live a small, mediocre, limited, contained Christian life, when we can live a life where God works through us and can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything that we could ever ask, hope, or think. I'm not having a small life when I can have the God life, and our God is so big and so huge. Why settle for mediocrity when you can have the abundant life? Jesus said, I didn't come to say that you might just have life. I came that you might have life and life more abundant. I don't just want life when I can have abundant life. That's God's plan, purpose, and destiny for you. And so here in the book of Joshua, after 430 years of slavery, 40 years in the wilderness, the children of Israel are finally going to go in and possess their promised land. And we're learning from the children of Israel, what do you need to do? What do you need to be aware of as you go in and possess? And the Bible says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised to Moses. So we'll just stop there for a moment. The Lord said to Joshua, who was Moses' aide, he said, now, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you are to get up. And he said to him, you are to arise and go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I am giving them to possess. And so the first thing that we learned is that Joshua is the aide of Moses. And so he was faithful to Moses for all of those years. And all of that time of faithfulness was because God was preparing him for the thing that he had already prepared for him. And a lot of us, we are never ready. The Lord said to them, get ready, you're going to go over and possess the land. But a lot of us cannot get ready because we're not already ready. And so the degree to which you are already ready is the degree to which you will get ready to go and take out the land. Now, if you don't, see, a lot of people, they want to go in, I want to do great things for God. I want to make a big difference for God. And that's awesome. I want you to dream big dreams. I want you to have huge aspirations. I don't want you to limit God in any way, but you have to be ready. You go, Christine, why? Well, the fact is, if you're not, the devil will take you out. I need you all to remember, this is spiritual warfare. When people go, Chris, look what's happening with A21 or with Propel or with the books and with the television. Well, the fact is, You know what? Every time you go to a new level, there are new devils. And so you have got to learn spiritual warfare. So what are we doing when we're getting ready? We're learning how to fight. We're learning how to fight the devil on this ground and the powers and the principalities so that when we go to a new level, we're going to know how to fight. Some people want to be promoted and catapulted into their destiny up here, but the fact is they don't even know how to fight a devil down here. So the minute you get up here, you're going to feel warfare like you've never known, and it will take you out. It will take you out. Some of you are wondering, God, why haven't I been promoted? Why haven't I stepped into it? I've got so much more gift. I've got so much more talent. There's so much more I could do. And you're living in frustration. But the fact is, you're not even learning to fight here. So you'll be taken out there. So God's saying, how about you learn to fight here? If you don't get ready before you get ready, if you're not already ready, your character will take you out. The world is full with people whose gift and talent took them to a place where their character could never keep them. And if your gift and talent takes you somewhere where your character cannot keep you, we see this constantly. We see people and you go, man, they were going full on for God up to here. And what happened at this point? Why did they fall away? It's because their gift took them to a place where their character could not keep them. And if the spotlight that is on you is greater than the light that is within you, your life will be destroyed. Your life will be destroyed. So because we live in a social media world, everyone wants to quickly get a platform. Everyone has a platform. Everyone wants to be known. But my thing is, what is it that you want to be known for? Is it for doing something for God, or you just want to be known for being known's sake? What is the point of being known for just being known's sake? If the enemy is going to take you out, if your character is going to take you out, what is the point of all of that? And the fact is, if it's about the glory of God, then you know what? I think Joshua was as happy when he was anonymous as he was when he was selected to go in and possess the land. Joshua was faithful for 40 years in the wilderness when a whole generation died out. Joshua was faithful when he was Moses' servant, going up to the mountain, waiting in the tabernacle, because he loved God and he had his own relationship with God. See, when God is preparing you to be already ready for when you're ready to get ready to go into what he's got for you, it's okay. You're not frustrated because you've got your relationship with God, and that's all that matters to you anyway. It's not like suddenly I'm going to be important when I do something. I didn't suddenly think when I got A21, I was, if you knew me in my 20s, I was as cray-cray then as I was now, as I am now. I was as full-on for God when I was going to speak to 20 kids. I thought I was Billy Graham. I thought this is as good as it gets, and I was so pumped. I was as excited as I am now. So I was already ready by the time God said, get ready. Christine, you're going to go in and possess the next part of the land. You're going to go on television, or you're going to start Propel, or you're going to start A21. If I wasn't already ready, I couldn't get ready. And a lot of us want to do great things for God, but we're not already ready. If you don't get already ready, what's going to happen is that perhaps your friends will take you out. So it's time to change some of your friends, because they may take you out the current level of friends you have. We're talking about getting already ready. What things need to change? You've got to work on your character so that it comes into alignment with what God's word says. You've got to work on some of your friendship circles and get some people around you that are going to take you to your destiny rather than keep you from your destiny. Perhaps your lack of strength is what's going to take you out. And what you've got to do is build some spiritual muscle. Get yourself disciplined, learn the word, know the word. You know, I don't know where I'm going, but I do know that part of that was time for me to go to get a master's at Wheaton so that I could, you know, my master's is in evangelism and leadership. And I think the way the world is changing, the way culture is changing, I want to know more. I want to understand more. So I don't quite know what I'm getting ready for, but I want to be already ready. So when God says, Chris, get ready, it's something else. And we get into that. I keep myself in a constant state of preparation so that I'm ready when God says, get ready. And so I think that's important that we're committed to that ongoing. I want to be strong. If you're not strong, temptation could take you out. And so you've got to learn at every level how to fight temptation at that level, because if you can't have victory over it here, you're not going to have victory over it over here. And so a lot of us is where we're living in a place where we think, God, have you forgotten me? It's not that God's forgotten you. He's getting you ready and he's getting you stronger. And so what you have to do is make sure you fight and you win every test in the battle on the way. Otherwise, you'll never step up and into what it is that God has for you. Fear can take you out. Impatience can take you out. Unbelief can take you out. Pain and betrayal will take you out. Disappointment, discouragement will take you out. All of the battles on the way help you to have victory over these things so that when it's time to get ready, you are already ready. You have to remember, God has not forgotten you. At every phase of life, God is preparing us for the thing that He has prepared for us. So the thing is prepared. There's nobody else. It's got your name on it, but you're not ready for it. And so that is the issue. God's getting you ready for it. He's not left you. He's not forsaken you. So don't quit in the middle. Don't quit in the middle of the preparation process. Without the preparation process, you won't be who you need to be to do what God has called you to do. So you're building resilience, you're building tenacity, you're building strength, you're building skill, you're building commitment, you're building faithfulness, you're building loyalty when you are someone else's aid. Joseph's a great guy too, but if Joshua had not built it, then he would not be able to walk in the fullness of leading the Israelites into the promised land. You will not be able to lead what you're called to lead if you cannot follow when you are called to follow. A good follower always makes a great leader. A good follower always makes a great leader. So you've got to make sure that you're already ready when you get ready. Let me just say this. A lot of us have got to make a decision that I am going to stay faithful no matter how lonely it is, when I feel that I've been forgotten, when I feel that I've been overlooked, when I feel like I'm just not treated properly. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to stay faithful to God and I'm going to stay at my post. And someone's watching this right now and this is your word, stay at your post. Do not leave your post. Do not abort the assignment that God has given you. The enemy's come to discourage you. He's told you that you're anonymous, that you've been overlooked, that, you know, God has forgotten you. But I'm here to tell you, God has not forgotten you. This is just your testing time and you're going to prove faithful. Let's make sure that we do not care more about being liked by man than being chosen by God, and that we stay faithful to our God. Because when you stay faithful to God in your anonymity and in your obscurity, you're more likely to stay faithful to God when the spotlight is on you and when you have the responsibility that He has given you. We want to remain faithful to God. And we must remember, number three, that it's not always all about us. The Lord says to Joshua, you and all these people. There is an interconnectedness between us and everyone else. Even when it comes to the great commandment that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and that we're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. It's not just about me and God. It's about me and people as well. Christians ought to be the greatest lovers of people. And the Lord said to Joshua, you and all these people. And so it is so important that we involve other people on the journey. We don't live just for ourselves. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, we read this really, really great portion. And he says to them, and to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as He has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them, then you shall return to the land of your possession. So until everyone's got theirs, you're going to help fight for them. And you know, sometimes you can settle, and this is where a lot of people quit in their Christian walk. We think, you know what? I've got everything that I want. I've got just enough. I'm happy. But the most selfish life is a life that says, I've just got everything that I want. I've got everything that I need. It sounds really humble, but it's actually selfish. Imagine if Nick and I just had everything that we needed and everything that we wanted. There would be no A21. There would be no Propel. There would be no TV program because I'd just be in my little house and I would be just really happy. And it's just my two little kids and my little dog, Ezra Blake, who I call Ezra Nehemiah Esther Job. And there would just be my little dog and we would just have our nice little life. And well, hi ho, hi ho, it's off to work we go. And I would just do my nice little work and I would have my nice little dinner parties. And then I would die in my nice little coffin and that would be my nice little life. Gag me with a spoon. God did not call us to have a nice little life. It's not just about me. I love what Rick Warren wrote in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Opening line, it's not about you. It's not just about me. There are 40 million slaves in the world. I'm going out and I want to abolish slavery everywhere forever. It is not just about me and my comfort and my security. Your life is not just about you. Our self-absorption, our pursuit of comfort, safety, and security, it's killing us with boredom. I'm convinced that the reason so many people are medicated and on antidepressants and on anti-anxiety medication is because half the people are just bored. Just bored. Because when your life is just about you, it's just boring. It was never meant to be just about us. It's about sending us into a lost and a broken world. You know, the fact is that I wonder whether we would be willing to fight for each other. Oh, we're doing a really good job at fighting with each other. How much better would it be if we started fighting for each other? If we had each other's backs and thought, I'm not going to settle until everyone goes in and possesses the promised land for themselves. It's not just about me. I'm going in for everyone. I wonder whether we can fight against this narcissistic, self-absorbed, self-indulgent spirit that's just permeating this world where everyone is. It's all about me. I want to see people set free through A21. I don't want to be just a content woman on my own. I want Propel to create pipelines so that women can be free, so that women can flourish, so that women can be propelled into their God-given destiny and purpose. Not just me. I'm okay. I've got this revelation, but it's not just about me. It's about a generation. It's about others. The Lord said to Joshua, you and all these people. It's never just about you. It's about you and all of them. My life is not my own. It was bought with a price. If we could get over just living for ourselves, I think we would experience so much more joy and so much more peace. Some of you watching this on the other side of the screen, you have gone through so much in your life. And let me tell you, one of the greatest keys to overcome the pain and the challenges of your past is to get up off that couch, to go and volunteer and do something for someone else. One of the best things you can do is get yourself off your mind. Go and do something for someone else. When we spend our whole life thinking, what about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? You are going to have the most depressing life because none of us are that interesting. And nobody's going to ultimately make you perfectly happy. Our life is not just about us. You will find supernatural joy, supernatural peace when you begin to think outside of yourself and do something for somebody else. Wake up one day and think, how can I make somebody else happy? On purpose, what can I do for someone else? I do this every day. I wake up and I think, what can I do? You think, Chris, I haven't got any money. I'm not talking about something that takes money. Send a note of encouragement to someone. Send a text to someone. Send an email to someone. Go next door and ask them if you can do something for them. It is not hard to think about doing something for somebody else, and you will be stunned at the amount of joy and peace and hope and blessing and healing that it's going to bring to your own life rather than obsessively ruminating about what they did to you or what they did not do for you. And it's you're just having a groundhog day, the same old day, every single day. Why don't you get yourself off your mind? Why don't you get them off your mind? Get up, get out, and go and do something to help somebody else. Go and help somebody else. And so I truly believe that if God can get it through you, God will get it to you. I think some people go, you know, why can God trust you and Nick, Christine, with what you do with, you know, A21 and with Propel and with what's happening? And I think it's because God can get it through us. And so the more resource he can get through you, the more he's going to give to you. Because if you know it's not for you, it's for everybody else. It's going to bring great blessing and great. Nothing makes me happier. Nothing. Than seeing other people fulfilled or joy or on purpose thinking about what I can do for other people. On purpose thinking about it. It just makes me happy. And the only time I start to like kind of get maybe in a funk is when I start thinking about poor me too much. Honestly, Nick goes, he'll say it to me because my mood will physically change. You go, whoa, I bet you got you on your mind. He's very pastoral, as you can tell. And so it's just like, you know, when I start thinking about what they did to me, what they said to me, what they didn't do for me, and then my life becomes all about me, 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 me. And you end up so frustrated. And when you start thinking about everybody else, it's amazing that there's just an ease and there's just a joy and there's just a flow that comes with all of that. So you and all these people, if you don't go, if not you, then it'll be somebody else. God will use someone else. A lot of times we go, if you don't go, what is God going to do? He'll use somebody else. And so I just want you to know that there is a great opportunity to partner with God. But I think about this when it comes to Joshua. You might remember that in Numbers chapter 13, verse 2, the Lord said to Moses to choose and select 12 leaders, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, to go in and spy out the land. And his exact words, the land I am about to give them. The Lord said the same thing here to Joshua. The land I'm giving you, he said in the book of Numbers, the land I'm about to give them. And so in both cases, it was a done deal. God said, I'm giving it. If God said it, God was going to do it. But what happened in Numbers chapter 13, That was 38 years before this time. Imagine, I'm imagining that Joshua's having a deja vu moment, thinking, I've been here, done that. I stood here with 12 men before. We went in to spy out the land that God gave us 38 years ago, because they'd already been in the wilderness for 2 years before they'd gone in to spy out the land. And so they went in and 10 men came back with a negative report. 10 men came back and said, the giants are really big. You know, the cities are heavily fortified. The enemies are numerous. There is just too much. We can't do it. It's too hard. And fear, doubt, and negativity kept them out of the promised land. So 10 people, 10 leaders had the power to keep an entire generation out of their destiny. And only two had a positive report. And I think what happened was all of those other 10, we don't know their names. No one names their kid Gadiel. I could go through the list of the 10 names. You go, who are they? They were the other 10 spies. We know Joshua and Caleb. People name their children Joshua and Caleb. But you know, we should know all of the 12 names. The Bible never said that Joshua and Caleb were any more gifted or any more talented than the other 10 spies. They were all 12 leaders. They were each leaders of the tribes of Israel. So any one of them and all of them should have gone in to possess the promise. That's why I say, if not you, then someone else. Because none of those 10 did, but another generation went through. And so I don't know about you, but I'm not going to miss what God's got for me because of negativity and fear and doubt. 10 leaders. 10 leaders have the power to keep a whole generation out of their destiny through fear, doubt, through negativity, through speaking those kinds of just lack of faith. And I'm always going to speak faith and I'm always going to speak to your potential and I'm always going to say we are well able. And people go, well, Christine, you're a faith preacher. Absolutely. I'm not going to be a doubt preacher. I'm going to be a faith preacher because we are well able to go in and we are well able to take the land and we are well able to lay a hold of all of that for which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of us. You see, the fact is that Joshua is standing here, same cities, same walls, same challenges, same enemies. They're all still there. They didn't go anywhere over the last 38 years. They're all still there. The fact is, though, there was a different perspective now. The 10 spies before, they were grasshoppers in their own eyes, and so they were in everybody else's eyes. But Joshua and Caleb, they said, we are well able. They didn't see themselves as grasshoppers. What am I saying? I'm saying to you that your perspective will determine your destiny. Your point of view is going to determine your destiny. It's not that someone is more gifted or more talented than anybody else, and God's got a special plan or purpose for them. The fact is, which way are you going to look at it? Are you going to see yourself as a grasshopper, or are you going to see yourself as a giant slayer? Are you going to see yourself as one that is empowered with the Spirit of God that can go in and lay a hold of the purposes of God? Because if you don't, God will use someone else, because God is faithful to His promise. God's will shall prevail. God will have His way, and He is willing to use anybody. It is not about your ability. It is about your availability. It is not about how good you are, not how smart you are, not how talented you are, not how resourced you are, not how eloquent you are, not how connected you are. It is about how much faith you have got. Do you have faith to believe that God is who He says He is, that God will do what He says He will do? And if you have faith to believe that God will do it, then you will rise up with a spirit that says, no matter what the naysayers say, no matter what giants are in the land, no matter how impossible it looks, impossible is where God starts. Miracles are what God does. I'm going to rise up. We are well able to take the land. We are well able to take the land. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening today. We hope today's message has encouraged and helped you. By the way, we'd love to see you positioned to experience all the great things God wants to do in your life. And we've got a special gift that'll help you do that. Just go to ChristineCain.com/podcast devotional and download your free copy of Christine's 14-day devotional, Spiritual Growth Spurts.